Welcome to Movie Maniacs. Mike Rags and Chuck Curry discussing the greatest movies of all time and all the new films in theaters and streaming that you need to know about. Like us, rate us, share us. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry.
Hey, we are back with another edition of Movie Maniacs. Mike Rags and Chuck Curry talking about the world of movies as we still maintain no theaters open, but they're eventually going to open up, I guess, because new movies are getting released. New trailers are being released. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about 2021. Chuck and I will preview some movies that will be coming out, God willing, in theaters next year. Everybody else is looking towards 2021. Why not us as well? Let's bring him in right now. Chuck, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Mike. I'm super jazzed up because there's a lot to talk about here. I just want to jump right in the water. You say no theaters are opening. Not true. AMC, I think, is going to open 200 theaters around the country. And Unhinged, which is really the first big toe in the water of a production company studio. It's not a major studio, but it is one of those more independent type studios with a little bit of a backing. Is going to release Unhinged on, I believe, 2,000 screens this weekend. Now, the theater I'm associated with, the Pocono Cinema in East Stroudsburg, this is our lineup for this weekend. And I think it's really interesting. Unhinged, Russell Crowe, and then we're bringing back some classics, Jaws 1, Jaws 2, and how about Scarface with Al Pacino? To me, if you're a movie fan, if you're really a movie fan and you're driving by Pocono Cinema in East Stroudsburg and you see the marquee, Unhinged, Jaws 1, Jaws 2, Scarface, that's got to put a smile on your face, no?
You might think you're in a time warp.
And it's a pretty good time warp, though.
Yeah. And yes, Unhinged.
Are you going to see Unhinged? Do you have any? Is a movie theater open by you?
It's not open. I've got nowhere to see it. So my lineup includes watching the movie. I'm going to get to watch that new Disney movie, The One and Only Ivan, with my daughter tonight, which stars Bryan Cranston.
So you're all in on streaming. It's either
I can't go to the movies, Chuck. Where am I going to go?
Unbelievable.
Unhinged does come out with Russell Crowe, Chuck.
Here's the thing. Last weekend, let's just go over because this is more we haven't been on that much in the last few weeks, so I want to just backtrack here. The number one grossing film in the country over the last month has grossed about $400,000 or $500,000. Think about that.
Jeez.
The Rental was number one a few weeks ago. I think it did $515 million. Weekend two, it did like $300 million. $300,000. Now, last weekend, they released the new SpongeBob movie.
Wait, what?
On the new SpongeBob movie.
I missed this one.
Yeah, on 300 screens across the country, and it did $900,000.
Wow.
So, let's make a prediction. I didn't see any tracking. 2,000 screens.
Can it make a million?
Certain people are ramped up to actually see a movie in a theater. Certain. Not a lot. I don't know how many. I don't know the pent-up anticipation, the fear factor, whatever you want to say. I'm going to say it's going to do over $2 million. It's going to do over $2 million. I think so. No?
Maybe. I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right.
I think people want to go to the movie theaters. I'm not sure this is the what they'd go see any other time, but
well, here let me just go forward here. Now next weekend, and we booked this. It's being released both on streaming and theatrically. Bill and Ted Face the Music, okay? And then you got September 2nd, the big one. Warner Brothers is going forward, and I got a backstory here. You're gonna find interesting. They are gonna release Chris Nolan's Tenet. It's going to be a major release on whatever. Obviously, any theater that's open in the country is going to play that movie. Now, here's the thing, Mike. Our theater, when a movie's booked, usually the longest signing of an electronic contract via our booker is a four-week engagement. And that's normally for a Star Wars movie or a big tentpole movie like one of the Jurassic Worlds or Wonder Woman. Guess how long the contract is for Tenet to book it?
Well, you told me how long it is, so it's not really a guess. 8 weeks.
It's a long time. Having said that,
2 months.
Gotta do it.
Well, yeah, because what else is going to come out? Yeah, you have to do it. Yeah. Normally, movies would turn over. There's no turnover here. So what else are you going to show?
Here's what's interesting, though. Warner Brothers tomorrow is going to release a new coming attraction trailer to Wonder Woman 1984. So the question is, are they really prepping to release Wonder Woman 1984 in theaters? When is it?
November, right?
No, it's November. Yeah, it is. No, it is.
It's actually October 2nd.
October 2nd. If you're a betting man, what do you say?
I say it's pushed to next year. I really think that. I don't know.
I would say so, too. Listen, it's going to be interesting, and I found out some other information because we've been talking back and forth about this on the show. When a movie goes on streaming, we were curious, what does it take? What does the studio get? Like, if you're going through your cable system and you see a movie and you buy it.
How do they recoup their money? Yes.
It's 80%, which is a pretty good take.
That's not
bad,
actually.
In terms of Disney Plus with Mulan, which is going on streaming, and then you click on for $30, you have to have Disney Plus, and you pay $30 unlimited for whatever. You can watch Mulan for as long as you have Disney Plus for $30. They'll get 100% because it's their own streaming service. That could hurt, though, because if Mulan's not on, you know, when you go to your cable system, you don't see it, you may not buy it. You have to get Disney Plus to get it. I get it. But 80%, it's a pretty good take. Now,
it's interesting, too, Chuck, because you bring up two movies coming out back-to-back weeks. The difference between Unhinged and Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted is actually going to get a VOD release on the same day as well. Unhinged is not available for streaming right now.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see if that pays off in some sort of extra box
office. I think what happened there is they kept delaying Unhinged, but Bill and Ted, they sort of made a conscious decision, okay, let's go streaming. They found out some theaters are open,
so they
and they'll
it
do
on.
It simultaneously. And now, from what I hear with Disney's Mulan, they are going to release it internationally in theaters, but not in the U.S. and Canada, I believe. That's where it's hosted. Streaming in the U.S. and Canada, international markets, they'll put it in theaters.
I wonder, does this have any residual effects on things like Rotten Tomatoes, too? Do people even care anymore? I mean, it's like, so like Unhinged, I have heard no buzz, nothing on it, no reviews, anything. But
it's about 50% positive. Hey, listen, the reviews I read say, listen, if you understand what you're getting into, you're gonna get a good ride out of this film. I'm going to go see it. I'm very curious.
Well, you have a theater to see it.
I mean, from where I'm sitting now, I literally walk about 100 yards, and I'm in the movie theater. So it's, you know, down the stairs, up the alleyway, and I'm there.
I'm going to check live right now on the air to see if I can see this movie at my local theater. I'll tell you right now.
Let's go.
Auditoriums are at 40% capacity or less to allow for social distancing. All right, I'm all about
that. That's in Indiana. We're at 25% here in Pennsylvania.
Now, I don't see show times yet. Hold on. Let me see tomorrow. There's no show times. August 27th it's going to open. So Thursday they'll open just in time for, you know, Bill and Ted, and then we'll see Tenet that weekend. So, 40% come Thursday. I'll probably have to wear a mask too, but that's okay. I don't know how I'm going to get the popcorn in my mouth, but we'll figure out a way. All right, so we're getting sorter towards normal here, Chuck, and it's interesting because there's a couple of trailers that were released, pretty big-time trailers too, and the thing that I noticed about both these trailers is at the end, you know, normally you see a date when movies are being released, and lately you haven't seen anything like that.
Right.
Well, at the end of Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, new thriller called Let Him Go. They say November up on big screen at the
end.
All
right. Okay.
And Death on the Nile is also going to get released. That's a sequel, to Murder on Orient Express. Right. Kenneth Branagh comes back.
Right.
And again, you see it's coming out November. So October. I think it was October 23rd. I saw at the end of that. So there are dates now being released. And I would assume that when Wonder Woman, the new trailer comes out, you're going to have a new date on it.
Yeah. What do you think about these conventions all online, Zoom?
All the virtual ones now?
Yeah.
No, they kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah, I know they have to. Could you get into that?
Yeah, I don't see why not. All right. I mean, it's not quite the same. You know, I really enjoy the roundtable discussions like Josh Gad and everybody.
Yeah, had. I do too.
If you have the and in fact, if you think about it, it gives you more exposure to these.
True. I mean, if you're interested, if you're interested in the topic, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it works.
I think so. I think so.
Well, you're more into the lifestyle of this streaming now. You seem very, very comfortable. Very.
Yeah. I'm in my bunker and I'm not leaving.
You are.
Maybe. Yeah.
I got it. Understood.
Chuck,
you wear a mask when you stream? Yes or no?
No, I do not.
Okay, all right.
No, I do not. Have you seen? Let me ask you this: have you seen anything worth letting our audience know about?
Not really.
So you come down on me, but at least I'm watching things.
Oh, no, no. Let me go back. We've done classics at the theater I'm involved in. I watched Empire Strikes Back on the big screen. It was pretty awesome. You know, for people who say, I got a big screen TV at home, and I'm perfectly fine watching this movie in my living room on a big – No. Mike, it's no comparison. There is no comparison. I mean, that was awesome. And it's such a tight movie, you know, the cliffhanger, Han and Carbonite, the twist. I Am Your Father. I mean, it's awesome stuff. And then last week, we did Field of Dreams for a week.
Nice.
And it's pretty awesome. A movie, you know, it's hard to believe, 1989. Mike, Field of Dreams, 31 years old.
I know,
and
it's
I
crazy.
I was telling you via text, you know, the cast of that film, Kevin Costner, I was reading that when you watch Field of Dreams, and I just want to talk about this for a second, that script or that story can easily go off the rails really quick.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't, and it works, and it, you know, people make comparisons to It's a Wonderful Life, and I get the whimsical nature a little bit. I get they're different films, but I was reading that the original choice for Ray Kinsella, the Costner character, do you know who it was? Who were they looking at? Robin Williams.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I don't even know if he can throw a baseball, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I think that would have been the difference. See, the difference, Costner knows the game.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody but Costner in that role.
Maybe Kurt Russell. I could see Kurt Russell do
maybe.
It. Maybe. Because of his background.
But here's the thing. When you watch James Earl Jones.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, if he read a phone book, you could sit there for 2 hours. And then Burt Lancaster, when he pops up on screen, it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It is. It's beautiful stuff.
And you almost ignore the miscasting of Kate of his wife in that. I mean, I was never a big fan of Amy Magdalene.
No, but you know what? She's fine. She's a very quirky personality. She's fine. And it's in Ray Liotta's Shoeless Joe.
Yeah.
Who says he's never seen the movie? By the way, I'll never. You understand that? How could you be in such a popular film? I never watched it. Okay.
I don't understand that, but
I don't either.
Huh.
It's what it is.
we'll talk about the upcoming movies in 2021 and what's on the docket in a second, but let's talk about some movie news. And the biggest one I saw, Chuck, and I'm sure you got more than I do here. Will Smith, Kevin Hart in a Planes, Trains and Automobiles remake for Paramount. Thoughts?
It's good casting. That I'd say.
Was The Rock busy?
Probably. I'm going to make the assumption he was absolutely busy. But listen, Will Smith, he's still a movie star. He's a really good actor.
There's no part of you that thinks that's precious property?
Of course, yes. But it's not going to stop him from doing it, right?
I guess
so
not.
If they're going to do it, I think that's a good cast. And I think it'll probably, if it turns out well, it'll probably be a big hit if people go back to the movies. It could do well on streaming, Mike.
That might be where we have to see it, Chuck.
Yeah.
And I did hear that Ridley Scott is trying to pair up Robert De Niro and Al Pacino again for a thriller. Talk about some power play right there. Those three together would be unbelievable.
They're an aging power play, though, huh?
Yeah, they're up there in years
now. What about the trailer to what is it? Another grandpa movie for Robert De Niro? Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
No,
but is Zac Efron in this one? Because
no.
Please stop.
No.
Please stop. What do you got for it? Give us some good. Give us some.
Well,
we have some superhero stuff for us.
It was
what
a big story yesterday about Warner Brothers is going to move. Well, let me just backtrack. At a convention tomorrow, they're going to release the Zack Snyder cut trailer to his Justice League movie that, you know, is going to premiere on HBO Max. And then Warner Brothers appears they're going to go head first here in the water with a Snyderverse. They're going to do the Flashpoint movie with the Flash, who time travels and has alternative multiverses. Ben Affleck's coming back as Batman in that universe. And Michael Keaton's Batman, in some form, is going to come back in that film. Now, the original property, they take Thomas Wayne, who's Bruce Wayne's father. He becomes Batman in the multiverse, in the time continuum of the Flash in that story. I guess Michael Keaton's going to play Bruce Wayne from the 89 Batman. And then you got a Ben Affleck. Here's the thing. I love Batman. I am the Batman. Don't tell anybody. My favorite superhero easily is Batman. I like my Batman in Gotham City without other superheroes around him. It's right. A very internal, very psychological, very interesting character that I can relate to.
Including Robin. You don't want Robin around either, right?
Not really. I'm not completely averse to having Robin ever, but I'd rather just have Batman. Now, here's the thing. We talked about this. Batman v Superman, I really like that film because I love what Affleck did with Batman and Bruce Wayne. I really do. I like it very much. And I do believe, and I said this many times, over time, generationally, people will discover that film and really appreciate it. That's my opinion, especially the director's cut. Now, I am excited to a point to see Snyder's cut on HBO Max because supposedly it's going to be a completely new movie with all his footage. None of the Kevin Smith stuff. What is his name? Who directed The Avengers?
Josh Whedon.
Josh Whedon. Not Kevin Smith. Josh Whedon. All his footage will be gone. It's a completely new movie. How that's possible, I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's really interesting because they just started filming again, picking up filming on The Batman, which is Matt Reeves' Batman movie with Robert Pattinson at Warner Brothers. I'm really surprised the studio's doing this because usually they're nervous to take these chances. We have two different actors playing Batman in different universes. Having said that, I think it's a good idea. I can't help it. When I see... I know people come to me and they say, oh, you'll see Robert Pattinson's going to be a great Batman. When I see just photos of him, I just don't see it. I just don't see him as Batman. I just don't. I do see Ben Affleck as Batman, though. He's pretty damn good Batman, in my opinion. And I love him as Bruce Wayne. So I'm excited about that. Now, Michael Keaton coming back as Batman, that's pretty awesome.
Are they going to digitally enhance him now? Or are we going to see like the Irishman here?
No, it's going to be an age Batman.
It is.
Because they're going to go into different timelines. Affleck will be in the present, and I believe Keaton's Batman will be in the future, or vice versa. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they'll be in different timelines. My main point is, like, to see different Batmans in the same film with the Flash, like. See, the Justice League's a good concept. Like, obviously, Avengers works beautifully. But Batman is the dark character that they're shoehorning into other characters that are lighter.
Yeah.
And that's always problematic to a point for me. Am I wrong?
No, I actually find the Avengers is overkill. Like, it's just so much sometimes. And I agree with you. The simpler, the better when it comes down to these superheroes. Although the Avengers movies are all great movies and highly...
I can see if Warner Brothers is going to spend $150 million on The Flash, you could see why they want to protect their investment.
Absolutely.
With Batman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And it will.
You got it.
It's ironclad. It's going to protect their investment. They're going to make money off that film.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, again, we're talking as if the world is back to normal. It isn't yet, but...
No?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, since I've been doing this, I felt transported into some normalcy. So I appreciate the time here.
When there's a Jamie Foxx, Jason Gordon-Levitt movie coming out on Netflix, there's nothing normal about life. I haven't watched it yet.
I watched the trailer. Boy, the trailer looks not very good. But
well, it's kind of you take a pill and you become a superhero for 5 minutes.
Really? Okay.
That's pretty high concept. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much money it looks like is poured into it. We'll see what happens. Chuck, before we get into you have any more movie news before we move on here?
No, other than Shelley Winters was born this week in 1920. You want to say anything about Shelley Winters? Bell Rosen in the Did I mention Beyond the Poseidon Adventure this week? I don't know. She was not in Beyond, but she was in the Poseidon Adventure. The sequel was Beyond the Poseidon. I just wanted to throw that out there because that seems to be like a – I have to get that in there.
But Shirley Knight was in Beyond the Poseidon Adventure. There's a lot of similarities there.
He was. But, you know, I was saying on another show, and we always spin off into different things. I think that's what makes this program fun. When Shelley Winters did the Poseidon Adventure in 1972, people who know about Shelley Winters, he had a huge ego, always thought she was a major movie star. And she had a really great career.
Sure.
She won 2 Oscars, nominated for 2 others. One was the Poseidon Adventure, which she was nominated. She put on 25 pounds to play that role. She was 55 when she did the movie, made her look a little older, I think, although 55 and 72 is a little different. And, you know, Kurt Russell was 55 when he did Poseidon, which is, you know, interesting. But that headfirst dive, saving Hackman's Reverend Scott, to me, is icon. And when you're in a theater with an audience watching the Poseidon Adventure, if you ever went to a revival of it, it brings the house down. I mean, it's awesome. I just want to throw that out there.
All right, and one quick note. I'm not even going to mention anything. One quick note. I did hear there's buzz that Jake Johnson is actually going to come back in the new Jurassic World. Of course, he was in the first Jurassic World, played one of the tech guys.
Yeah,
very
funny
in the film. He's good in that movie. He's always good. I hope they get him back, and it looks like
now,
they're
going. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you – Sam Neill back. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern. What do you want to see out of this film? What's going to satisfy? What, unlike, like, because I keep hearing people say, you know, J.J. Abrams, Star Wars Force Awakens, how the hell, and I like that movie a lot, but how the heck do people always say to me, do you not have Luke, Han, and Leia in the same scene? Like, right. Why would you miss that opportunity? So now you got the original cast, right, with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. What do you want? What's going to satisfy you? Tell me.
I just want a highly entertaining movie. Honestly, when I saw The Force Awakens, that never crossed my mind once in the entire film until afterwards when people started bitching about it. If it's highly entertaining to me, it really won't matter.
But here's the thing. I want to see with this Jurassic World, the third one in this franchise of the world Jurassic World movies, I want to see Sam Neill and I want to see these three characters
in peril.
Yes,
I want
to see them of equal importance as Pratt and Dallas. I don't want to see them backstory players here. I don't.
No.
That will disappoint me.
Well, that's what happened in the last one with Jeff Goldblum.
That was just an extended cameo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see what happens.
I want more. I'm telling you, Universal, send an email.
Chuck, before we do Fast Five, we did have someone pass away a couple days ago. Of note, Ben Cross.
Yeah, I saw that.
Chariots of Fire.
Yep.
Not a huge career. He made some horror movies as well.
He had a good screen presence, man.
He did.
Absolutely. Like, when you saw him on screen, he's like, yeah, I know that guy. That guy's good. He was good.
And if you want to find a little movie, there's a DVD out there you can find with him and Pierce Brosnan. It's a cheap direct-to-video called Live Wire, where Pierce Brosnan plays a bomb diffuser.
Okay.
And Ben Cross is the bad guy. So it's good, but it went direct-to-video. So it's before he was Bond. I can tell you that. I wish I could tell you.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So go check that out. Ben Cross passed away. All right. Let's do Fast Five. A lot of women in Fast Five, Chuck. We have 4 women and a man. Let's do the man first. He passed away quite some time ago. Believe it or not, much like myself, River Phoenix would have been 50 this weekend. River Phoenix passed away in 1993.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to remember from the prologue sequence in Last Crusade. Indiana Jones, and he plays young Indiana Jones. I mean, I have to really reflect my memory to look at his bio, his film bio. I mean, obviously at the time, he was a very hot property in the industry. A lot of people thought he would become, you know, a major star in the industry for generations to come. Obviously, you know, sad, died of a drug overdose outside a Hollywood club.
But I did enjoy him in Stand By Me. Obviously, he's the, you know, the kind of the toughest kid of the four kids, and he's very good in that
and
ensemble.
It's a great
cast.
Movie. That's a great movie. That's a movie that'll stand the test of time.
Chuck, Kristen Wiig is 47 years old.
I like her a lot.
I do. She's very entertaining.
How about that female Ghostbusters movie? No, you know,
Bridesmaids.
I like
easy.
I know it's, it's Bridesmaids. That movie's so funny.
That movie's a classic, actually.
Oh, very so funny.
Here's an actress who hasn't been around in a while, and boy, she's one of the best actresses we've ever had, and that's Joan Allen, is 64 years old, Chuck.
Oh, my goodness. How about Toys with Robin Williams? Remember that one?
She's in Toys? Joan Allen?
Oh, no, that's Joan Cusack. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little rusty. I apologize. Joan Allen.
Joan Allen was in Face Off, was the wife of John Travolta, Pleasantville, Oscar nominated, and you're mistaking her for Joan Cusack.
Yeah, I know. Listen, Face Off's a good. They're going to remake Face Off. Did I tell you that one?
I don't know if you told me that one. No.
Yeah. Face Off is a 10 out of 10 movie, Mike.
Yeah, it's great.
He's really damn good in that film. That's a great movie.
Yep, it's great. But so you don't really have a Joan Allen movie, do you?
You got to list off some of them.
Well, how about The Contender? She plays with Jeff Bridges as the
really good movie.
President. It's a great movie. She's in The Notebook, for that
matter.
Has
she done a lot in the last few years?
No, she hasn't. Wasn't she in one of the Bourne movies, too? I think she was in one of the Bourne movies.
She was.
And how about The Upside of Anger, where she plays the ultimate of B-words, and Kevin Costner is the older man. She's a widow. That's a really good movie if you've never seen it. It's called The Upside of Anger, which came out, I think, a couple of young actresses are in it.
She's really good.
She's very good.
Who's
Amy
next?
Adams, speaking of good, Chuck. Boy, oh boy, this one's tough. Amy Adams, how old do you think Amy is? She's older than I thought.
46.
She is 46 on the nose. Obviously,
okay, I was a real guess, seriously.
Lois Lane. But what... I mean, to me, you're going to think I'm crazy. The one film I think of when I think of her is when she's the princess. There's a cartoon that comes back why can't I think of the name?
Enchanted, right?
Enchanted. I think that movie's fantastic, and
yeah,
she's really good in it.
She's really good, obviously.
She's done a lot of great work. Doubt, The Fighter, Trouble with the Curve. She's actually really good in that. I'm not crazy about the movie.
No, I'm not either.
What do you think of Lois Lane when you think of Amy Adams?
I mean, I do to a little bit of a point because, you know, it's always interesting when an actress plays that role.
I also love Arrival. I know a lot of people were
I'm mixed on that.
I know I love that movie.
She's a solid lead. There's no doubt.
Last but not least, then the youngest of the bunch, Blake Lively, whose movie got lost in the shuffle with COVID. She did have an action movie, The Rhythm Section. It came out right before.
I know people who really like that film.
She's 33 years old this weekend.
And he just sold a company for like $71 million, Ryan Reynolds.
And they both just apologized for getting married on a plantation, too, in this apology world. Easy for me, The Shallows is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
And she's great in it. And that's one of the better shark movies.
It's a fun movie.
To ever come around.
It's a solid little movie that certainly plays very well on cable. I liked it in the theater too.
But, yeah, great stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Chuck, let's look ahead to 2021. Now, listen, there's a lot of movies coming out at the end of this year that might be 2021.
Let me ask you a question. 2021, are we going to get a 42nd or 42 year anniversary release of Beyond the Sign of
No, we're not going to get that.
No?
No.
It's not on the docket.
No, believe it or not, if you really want to find the Bring It On, it's 20 years old.
Okay.
How about that? You want to Bring It On?
That's hard to believe.
Wow. Well, let's look at some of the bigger movies that'll come out, hopefully, in 2021 that you and I can look forward to.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first one that I see that really is, you know, somewhat big, you know, you've got the Respect movie, the Aretha Franklin movie with, you know, what's her name? Jennifer Hudson. Great casting. But how about March 5th, Chuck? Right now, Ghostbusters Afterlife, a leftover from 2020.
I'm excited to see that movie, no doubt. I love the trailers. I thought they did a really good job in the trailers, tweaking sort of a new generation and brings a homage. I love Paul Rudd. They're bringing back the original cast. The trailer doesn't show that much, although it does show do some voiceovers. But I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'm in line for that one, too, and they did a wonderful Josh Gad.
You're actually in line to see it in a theater?
Or I might be.
Or you're going to be fighting your daughter for the remote control on streaming.
A couple of sequels coming out in March. You got The Boss Baby 2. Alec Baldwin's back, Chuck.
Did this count? You're talking to me.
And then Tomb Raider 2. Chuck, did Alicia Verlander, did they make enough movie with Tomb Raider 1 to make a Tomb Raider 2?
I didn't think they did, and obviously they're going to probably think they could sell it overseas aggressively. I like her a lot, though.
Yeah, she's appealing. April 2nd, I guess you could say the summer movie season starts. Chuck, we're going to get Fast and Furious 9. Who have they added to the cast this go-around? John Cena, right?
John Cena, major role.
Major role. So our... Are The Rock and Jason Statham in this one?
No.
I want to see a wrestling match. No.
Maybe. Do you think Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel's feud was real? I think there's something to it. I thought it was just publicity. I think there's something to it. I do believe Vin Diesel didn't show up on time on set, and Dwayne Johnson called him out, and it sort of escalated. But they kicked that back a whole year, so.
We've got a post-apocalyptic thriller with Tom Hanks called Bios coming out.
I didn't know that.
In April of 2021, which, you know, he's as busy as ever, Chuck. Let's face it. How about A Quiet Place Part 2 has landed April 23rd as...
Boy, they kicked that back. Kicked that ahead a year also.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole year.
We know the reviews are really good already because I saw them.
I wonder what strategically they're looking at there. Is that Easter? Is that around Easter? I don't know when Easter falls on this go around, but it's an interesting date. Why not, if you're going to get that close to summer, why not go to summer, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it matters. I mean, once you get to March, April, May, June,
maybe they're scared of the next Marvel movie on my radar, Chuck, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which has Doctor Strange in it, Thor. These movies will never die. They'll just keep making these Marvel movies forever.
They will.
And I think what's her name's in it too. Whoever she plays, why can't I ever think of her name? She's very appealing in these movies too. Hold on. It's going to come to me, Chuck, and it's not coming to me, but
rub the top of your head. It'll come.
Yeah, it'll come. Well, why are they keep making Marvel movies, Chuck?
Cause they make a boatload of money and people like them.
Elizabeth Olsen, her character. Yeah. I don't know. What superhero is she? Can you keep track of these things?
Scarlet Witch.
Oh, my God. Of course she is.
Of course I knew that.
All right. So that is May. But also in May, Godzilla versus Kong, Chuck.
Go
May
backwards. 21st. Go backwards now. Tell me what you thought of the last two Godzillas and Kong Skull Island. Tell me.
Kong Skull Island I liked.
I liked it only to a point.
It's a little over the top at times. The last Godzilla movie is better than the first Godzilla.
Give me King Kong with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange.
Listen, you asked me what I thought of the movies.
Godzillas, tell me.
The last one was better than the first one.
I don't agree.
The first one is bad because they pulled a Robert De Niro 15 minutes. Bryan Cranston's done in 15 minutes.
And they made Aaron Johnson, who was kick-ass.
Yes.
They made him look bad in that movie.
Yeah.
Production-wise, in some scenes, action sequences are really good. See, the last one, they try to develop the human characters better. I just don't think it worked well, and it left me it was watchable, but nothing more.
I will say none of the three warrant how big these monsters are. Let's put it that way. You know,
I agree.
So having them together, maybe they'll get it right. Who knows? Looks like Memorial Day weekend next year, you're going to get Disney's Cruella, which I believe is Emma Stone as Cruella.
That should be cool.
Which is obviously a live action.
She'll be great in that role.
She's always good. And
you get a good paycheck too, no?
You would think so. Well, Disney seems to write the checks. How about Infinite comes out in 2021? Antoine Fuqua is a great director, teaming up with Mark Wahlberg, Chuck, in an action movie. A man discovers that his hallucinations are actually visions of past lives. And that's Marky Mark. And then it always goes, if Marky Mark's in a good movie, he's good. If he's in a bad movie, he's what, Chuck?
He's real bad.
Yes. The Conjuring, another one. I think this is three. That'll come out in June, Chuck. I mean, are you a fan of these horror movies?
Well, the first one was really good.
Are these the ones with Patrick Wilson and the
Yes.
He's usually jinxes my movies. Not a big fan of Patrick Wilson.
Okay.
Here's one that you might have heard. Jurassic World Dominion comes out June 11th, Chuck.
I'm excited about that one.
That should be huge.
That one I could wait online with a sleeping, but with a sleeping bag, what do you think?
Yeah. How about?
I think so.
I think we might have mentioned this too. Summer movie with Stallone. I haven't said that in a long time. A young boy learns that a superhero he thought was long gone missing.
Oh, I knew about that film. That's coming.
Samaritan, it's called. So Stallone plays an old superhero that nobody knows is still around.
Sounds like it sounds like The Equalizer or Death Wish, right? A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I could pay to see that one.
Well, hopefully he tones down the violence from his Rambo movies and actually makes
something
a little more mainstream for people to go see.
So.
The musical adaptation of Into the Heights comes out in June, Chuck. That'll be big as well. You've got a Pixar movie called Luca coming out. They always work, Pixar, right? You can't go wrong there. How about a sequel to Venom? Who's calling for this one, Chuck? Let There Be Carnage. Tell me about Venom.
Woody Harrelson's playing Carnage, right? The bad guy.
Yep.
I liked it a lot more than I ever thought I would, I have to say. I thought Tom Hardy was really interesting in Venom. I know it sort of had some people wanted more. Some people were satisfied. It satisfied me. I felt like he knew the character, and I like. That's why I liked it. So, am I going to do a hula hoop in anticipation? No, but I'll see it.
Another Minions movie's coming out. Minions Rise of Gru will be out
You're talking to me?
Yeah. Well, there are people out here that listen that actually have a heart, have a soul,
I enjoy
animated movies like I do.
Yeah.
Even when they're streaming.
I get it.
How about this? Minions goes up against Maverick, Chuck. Look at that 4th of July weekend. That's all American right there.
That's a good one.
You think Top Gun's got the legs still?
I'm sure it's going to be a solid movie. So it's going to create an audience. Even if people don't remember Top Gun, have enough nostalgia and it'll create a new audience. I'm sure it'll do well.
Well, it's interesting because it comes out in July. And so does a sequel to Space Jam. What year are we in, Chuck? Space Jam 2 with LeBron James.
Yeah.
Can it garner as much hype and fun as the original Space
Probably
Jam?
Probably not. I don't think it'll capture a place in a time the original did, but I'm sure it'll do very well.
And I'm really looking forward to the adaptation.
You know, the NBA is going to be behind it big time.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see commercials up the wazoo.
So there you go.
I'm really excited to see the movie adaptation of the video game Uncharted, which actually stars Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg in an action movie together. Should be a lot of fun there, Chuck. That also will come out in July. Jungle Cruise. We've waited a long time for this one. Speaking of The Rock, it's The Rock and Mary Poppins.
Talking about a nice paycheck for Emily Blunt, huh? Well, she did the Mary Poppins for Disney, so
it was probably part of their deal. They had to do this movie.
Absolutely.
And there is an M. Night Shyamalan movie coming out in July as well. No word on what it is, obviously. It could be the sequel to The Village, for all we know.
Could be.
But let's hope not.
I'm still depressed over the last one.
I know. Well, you got to get over it a little bit, Chuck.
You can't really tell me he killed David Dunn in that movie. No, he didn't do that, right?
No.
Quickly?
He got an hour. He got a action movie with.
You have to. You almost have to say to yourself, "Is that mental?" When he's sitting at his typewriter,
yeah.
Or however he typed it?
Yeah.
And he made that decision in his head. How do you do it? Like, and the way it plays out on screen is like, are you like, hello? Are you serious?
Well,
I don't get it.
A secret society. Banding together to
that movie had so much potential, and instead of hitting it out of the park, he hit a single, tagged out at second. No,
yeah, it was he tried to stretch it into a double and he got thrown out.
That's exactly what he did.
Almost as bad as having a foreign psychiatrist play the major role in a new Halloween reboot that nobody wants to see, and don't even get me started on that. Hey, The Tomorrow War is a Chris Pratt action movie of note because a couple of good actresses in it as well. Yvonne Strahovski and Betty Gilpin will be co-stars. They're both very good. That should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another Suicide Squad movie, Chuck.
James Gunn's the director writer, so listen, you got to. Okay, I'm on board with that one.
And then you got the sequel to the Hitman's Bodyguard with the Hitman's wife bodyguard. Who's the wife in this? Is it Salma Hayek? No, right? I think it is, right? Salma Hayek and it is. And then you got Frank Grillo is coming in with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson.
Cool, that's really good.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan. That movie's not good.
No, it's not. But Ryan Reynolds is. I mean, he is a guy, and we always hear. Let's go. Here's a guy that was floundering. You could tell he had talent.
Yeah.
And he was floundering, and his movies were flopping and flopping. But you knew he was good. He was in that movie. What was it? With Abigail Breslin. That movie.
Oh, definitely. Maybe one.
Okay, really good movie. Right. Really good movie.
Great.
You know the guy's got talent. He does Green Lantern, and the movie's abominable. It's bad. Not his fault. The script is horrible. And then he hits big with Deadpool, and now they're throwing money at him left and right, and he's good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin Hart will be back in The Man from Tomorrow in September. He co-stars with Woody Harrelson and Kaylee Cuoco. Weird to see her on the big screen, Chuck. Obviously had a huge TV success there. So we'll see what that movie is. Jackass 4. He's not done yet either. So another Jackass movie for Johnny Knoxville, Chuck. Has any of these movies appealed to you?
Not theatrically. If they're on cable, I'll laugh very hard on those movies, though.
There's something about him I like. I wish he would just do something where he's not.
Well, I like when he did with Dwayne Johnson when he did Walking Tall. That goes back a long time now, right? 20 years maybe. He plays like the sidekick.
That's the other guy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He played The Last Stand. He's really good in The Last Stand.
That was good casting.
Yeah, that was good casting. A movie called The Batman in October. Is this something we want to talk about?
It's a very interesting release date for a Batman movie, October 2nd.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's dark, which is good.
This is going to be a real – and the fun of the Batman franchise, they should be done differently. Mm-hmm. Why do it the same? Like you could say, okay, this is what Burton did. This is what Schumacher did. This is what Nolan did. Obviously, Nolan, the most prominent of what he did. Burton, there's a lot of fun with Burton stuff. But having said that, and with Snyder, now we got Matt Reeves. So I'm definitely looking forward to see how he puts his spin and tone on the material.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
It's supposedly a detective story.
I guess it's going to play more like Gotham, the TV series.
I have a feeling it's going to be very, very layered.
Yeah. Halloween Kills, it's the sequel to the sequel of the other sequels with Jamie Lee Curtis back. They can't kill her and they can't kill him. Chuck, you can't kill these two. Halloween Kills comes back. All the same parts. And,
they tested this movie. It's tested through the roof. We've heard that before. But from what I hear and what I've read, they've done some really cool things. I heard...
Well, including Anthony Michael Hall as Tommy Doyle. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I agree.
That's a good
spoiler
idea.
Spoiler alert, but I hear somehow they do a Dr. Loomis scene, and they go back to 78, and they have a Dr. Loomis scene. Obviously a different actor. They probably pan the camera way back and sort of do a voice riff where Dr. Loomis will have a part in this movie, which I like.
Yeah, I guess. And I know
things. Really damn good.
Okay. Well, I know they brought back a lot of the, like, Charles Cyphers is back.
I hear things. What am I? Is a Sixth Sense sequel here?
Yeah, you got a Sixth Sense about something. But they do bring back some of the old characters, the lesser-known characters, to come back. I know the nurse from the original is in it. And like I said, Charles Cyphers, he's in it as well.
Boy, when that nurse got that call, she's probably like...
Oh, my God. She's set.
Cha-ching. Oh, yeah. Like, now I can go to the conventions and sign. I mean, think about it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, I know. Alex Winter, same thing. Let me tell you this movie here. It's called The Last Duel, and here's the description of it.
Yeah.
King Charles VI declares that knight Jean de Carrouges settled his dispute with his squire by challenging him to a duel. All right, sounds like some, movie we're never going to see. Co-starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, they wrote it, and Ridley Scott's the director. What's up with this movie, Chuck?
I don't know. You tell me.
These guys can't. That's not Good Will Hunting sequel, right?
No.
How about, oh, we get the third installment of Spider-Man in November, Chuck. So more
They didn't
Marvel.
Start filming. They didn't start filming it, though, I don't think.
Yeah, well, they have a November 3rd release date right now.
Let's see.
Yeah, Tom Holland, Marissa Tomei.
Now,
yeah.
Let me ask you a question. The best Spider-Man movie is what?
Spider-Man 2, yes. Sam Raimi. Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Now, you could argue, okay, Tom Holland fits Spider-Man, the comic book version, like a glove.
Right.
And he's really good. And he's a lot of fun. And he owns a role. But I still dig Tobey Maguire also.
Yeah, but I think...
I really do.
I think you, no problem saying the best movie is Spider-Man 2. The best Spider-Man is Tom Holland. I have no problem saying that. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
Another Tom
like
Hanks...
Tobey Maguire is good, though.
He is. No, I take nothing good away from Tobey Maguire.
What about Andrew Garfield? He misses it for me.
Yeah, no. No. Elvis movie in November, and that's Tom Hanks again, Chuck.
Who?
Yeah, again, he doesn't stop working. He's playing Colonel Tom Parker in this one.
He ain't going to be needing to collect those Social Security checks, Tom Hanks, I'll tell you that. He's doing okay for himself.
Long live capitalism.
All right,
listen, take it easy. Yeah, a relative unknown is playing Elvis in this. Austin Butler will be Elvis. That'll come out in November.
Cool. That should be good.
I hope
Baz
it's good,
Luhrmann,
too.
Right? Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah, Baz Luhrmann.
Moulin Rouge, Australia.
Yeah. How about Fantastic Beasts, a third Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him? Why,
I don't care.
You don't care? You're not? No.
Not really. Having said that, the Harry Potter and the Prisoner Alcatraz, what is
That's the best one, the third one?
Yeah, that was re-released in the UK and did like $4 million.
The best one of the series.
Yeah,
Gary Oldman is the best one.
But Harry Potter still has juice.
It does.
It does.
Well cast, well done, well scored.
Yeah.
King Richard comes out November 19th, Chuck. Not a movie you think it is. That is the Venus and Serena dad movie played by Will Smith. That'll be November 19th.
That should be pretty cool.
He's getting some higher profile roles now.
And Will deserves to. The guy, listen, talent like Will Smith, you have your – listen, it is a theory in the business which almost is always true. You have a 10-year run or a little more, then you take a fall. But the good ones always rise.
Yeah.
And he's too good not to rise. He's just good. He's good.
And here's interesting, you know, Mission Impossible 7, trying to find interesting notes about this. I mean, Rebecca Ferguson and Vanessa Kirby are both back, which I'm a big fan of both of them. They were really good in the last one. Obviously, Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames. But check this out. Shea Whigham joins the cast, Chuck. Mm-hmm. And Henry Sheerney comes back. Now, remember Henry Sheerney was in the first one. He's a really bad guy. I wonder, is he playing the same character in this? That's a callback if I ever saw one.
I like when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, so that'll be out November.
What about Michael Keaton as Batman? Will he be in this one?
Nope. Maybe. Oh, here's one for you. In December for Christmas, Sing
Breaking
2.
News, Michael Keaton's in Mission Impossible 7 as Batman.
Sing 2 comes out, Chuck. I know you were. You want to talk about Sing 2?
Not really.
No? Well, we're at the end of the year, and who knows what could happen. But these are some of the bigger movies that are come out. I don't think anything. Now, let me ask you this. If Jurassic World Dominion and The Batman come out on the same day,
wow,
what movie are you going to see first?
I could flip a coin. But if I had to choose The Batman.
Wow.
I'm just the curiosity of what they do with the material will get to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a little what if the Ziegfeld opens back up?
Jurassic.
All right, thank you.
Hands down. No. We talk about the greatest movie going experience of our life is
that night we saw Jurassic World in Jurassic Park twice in the same day, hours apart.
1993?
Yeah, at the Ziegfeld. And
first,
you know what?
First showing 4:00. And here's the thing. I remember we're waiting online, and Ron Insana, who's a host on CNBC stock host, he went up to the ticket booth and bought a ticket. I remember that. That was a blast. That was a lot of fun. A
lot of fun. And you know what's sad is we might never experience anything like that ever.
No, we won't listen. For people who don't know, Ziegfeld, legendary single-screen movie house in New York City, 1,150 screens. It was sold out. When the T-Rex ripped the lawyer off the toilet, the audience roared. It was like being at a Met-Yankee World Series game. I mean, honestly, Mike, it was that good. No? It was.
If you can't see the Zoom, but it looks like Chuck is actually hiding out like the two kids did in the kitchen at the end of Jurassic. That's what I'm looking at right here. Like, in your one in... I don't know where you can't. This is radio, not video, but.
All right.
We'll leave it at that. Chuck, we'll do this again next week. Good job, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure. And to the audience, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Movie Maniacs. Download one of our archived episodes. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.